From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Colonel Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes. Thanks, Carl. Yes, thanks, you people. Thank you. Yes, today, news, quiz, and our guest later, Larry King. Yes, today on the show, stay tuned. But first, you call the number 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, Peter.
Hi, who's this?
Cindy in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hey, Las Vegas. How are things in Vegas?
Well, you know, what's amazing is I think it's hotter in Chicago than it is in Las Vegas
that
today.
That seems hardly fair.
Yeah. It makes me feel a little better because I always feel like I'm spending the whole summer here suffering by myself.
Oh, no.
No.
We're okay. Suffering with you.
You're suffering with me.
You can take comfort in our misery, Mindy.
All right.
Well, welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, a Chicago comedian and a host of Vocalo.org, Mr. Brian Babylon.
Hey, hi, Mindy. How are you?
Next, one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hello, hello.
And a humorist appearing at the Davis Concert Hall at the University of Alaska Fairbanks on August 6th, Mr. Tom Baudet.
Hello, Mindy.
Mindy, are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
Well, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Carl this time.
Okay.
Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from this week's news. Your job, of course, correctly identify or explain two of them. Do that, you'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice, on your voicemail or whatever your device may be.
Okay.
Ready to play?
Yes, I am.
All right, here's your first quote.
There is no deal. We're not close to a deal.
That was White House spokesman Jay Carney on Thursday comforting the nation that we are that much closer to complete financial ruin. Because there wasn't yet a deal to do what?
To raise the debt ceiling.
Raise the debt ceiling, indeed. Very good. It is just 2 weeks. Yes, you got it right. It's just 2 weeks to debt ceiling Mageddon, or default apocalypse. What's crazy is we all saw this coming. It's like we're all in the Titanic, only we had 6 months' warning of the iceberg.
Well, and polls show that half of Americans now believe that if you raise the debt ceiling, it'll be too high to paint.
Right. But then, to save us this last week, riding in like heroes from the sunset, it's the Gang of Six, the senators, the most ruthlessly boring gang in history.
You know what, Pete? I'm curious, like, what, you know, from where I'm from, a gang gets things done. You know?
I don't understand.
Yeah. This gang can't get anything done.
I know. They're the least intimidating gang since the Apple Dumpling Gang.
The worst gang ever.
They scare no one. It's like nobody in Georgetown is going, oh, man, you can't wear khakis. No, you can't wear those. Khaki is a Gang of Six color, you know.
Yeah, but on the other hand, they've outmaneuvered all the house guys. You know, Eric Cantor's head's about to explode.
Well, how hard is that?
But here's the thing. We are careening towards something that everybody thought was impossible, and it looks like it might happen, this default. How did it get this far? Maybe people secretly want this to happen, right? We like crashes when we go to NASCAR. So why not with the global economy?
Yeah, I sent a little email to this guy who helps me look after what little money I have. And I said, should I be worried about my money? And he just sent me back a one word. He just said, yes.
All right, very good. Here is your next quote.
This is the most humble day of my life.
That was somebody testifying before the British Parliament. Who had the most humble day in his 80 years of life on Wednesday?
This was my favorite story all week. Oh. Rupert Murdoch.
Rupert Murdoch, yes. Rupert Murdoch appeared in front of a committee of the British Parliament along with his son, James Murdoch, who looks just like his father would if his father were still alive. Murdoch testified that despite being a billionaire global press baron, he's got a lot in common with the average working guy, namely, neither of them have any idea what's been going on in Murdoch's company. Then a comedian broke into the room to smash a pie into Murdoch's face. And on international TV, Murdoch's wife, Wendy Dang Murdoch, leapt up to defend her husband with a sharp right cross. It was the most vicious thing a member of the Murdoch family had done to an enemy since that morning's paper was published.
Why do people throw pies? I mean, it seemed like...
How did they get past
security? I mean, it seemed like throwing a scone or a muffin. I mean...
It'd be more British.
Well, I think, like, with a muffin, you could even get a little movement on it. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you get a like a hanging curve muffin, oh, yeah. You know, right?
A lot of Murdoch's rivals in Britain and here in the U.S. have really been enjoying the story. They're running headlines like Murdoch Empire Crumbling. Fox News, of course, went with terrorist attacks innocent job creator with toxic dessert. Here is your last quote.
I'm not going to say you'll see fighter pilots crying, but there's no cameras in the cockpit, so that might happen.
That was one of the pilots flying the final mission of what this week?
The space shuttle Atlantis.
Yes, the last shuttle mission ended this week.
Yeah.
Got a bittersweet, huh? There was hope for one more mission as the astronauts on the Atlantis realized they had left their cell phone back in the International Space Station. They were going to go back and get it, but then they got, what the heck, it's an iPhone, who cares? The shuttle program lasted 30 years, and it's done so much. It provided us with valuable insights into the effects of space on shuttles.
You know what I would have liked,
Peter? They do fine up there, yes.
I would have liked that at the very end, you know, the whole thing, we would the shuttle would turn into a transformer. And that would have been like, America!
Saluted
like,
us yep, and like walked off the center.
Transformed and been saluted.
That would have been great. But it does mean we've got nothing now in terms of a U.S. manned space program. We got nothing. We're going to get rides up to the space station from the Russians. It'll be like a taxi. You pay a lot of money for the ride, and the guy's driving does not speak any English. And it's going to be like that. You know, it's going to be like, look, man, listen, up front, since when do you have to go to Mars to get to the space station? I am not a tourist up here. Carl, how did Mindy do on our quiz?
Mindy, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail. Congratulations.
Well done. Thank you, Mindy.
Thank you.
Stay cool. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Right now, panel, it's time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Tom, Texas State Senator Judith Zaffirini is running for re-election, but she's changing her campaign logo after her border region constituents got a little confused. Turns out the same logo was being used by someone else. Who?
A drug cartel.
Yes, Mexican drug gangsters. State Senator Zaffirini has been using a big Z in her signs and ads for years, but only recently realized an identical logo is used by the Zetas, a ruthless drug cartel right across the border.
And also Zorro.
Yeah.
She should have known something was weird when she got that package delivered to her house.
Naturally, upon hearing of the confusion, the murderers and drug dealers were humiliated to learn some people thought they were state senators.
We're bad, but we're not that bad.
Tom, one of the curses of being a vegetarian is gelatin. It's an animal product that shows up in all kinds of unexpected places, like in marshmallows or gummy worms, all kinds of things. But Chinese scientists have solved the problem. They found a way of making gelatin from what?
So it's got to be something sort of greasy and slippery and not animal.
Well, technically it is an animal, but at least it has a say in the matter.
Oh, my God. Liposuction?
Well, are you saying it comes from people?
I am.
You'd be right. Yeah.
So this is like Hannibal Lecter dessert or something?
It is, pretty much. I ate his liver with a nice Jell-O mold. The method developed at a Beijing university does not involve grinding up the excess population for Jell-O. Not yet, anyway. It's almost as creepy. You take human cells, the cells that produce collagen in the human body, and you combine it with a kind of yeast, and voila, a Petri dish filled with green people goo. The advantage of this process is that it will freak vegans the heck out. And it gives us all another choice for when we die. We can be buried, cremated, or made into a nice dessert. And remember to indicate in your will whether or not you want pineapple chunks. It's great. You can cater your own buffet at your funeral.
You know, you can be in your kid's lunchbox.
Exactly. You know. You can make a mold that looks like you, right? Yeah.
Well, so you can have...
No, there you are in your coffin. You're lying there. You're looking peaceful. There you are on the buffet table.
You can
lying there looking jiggly.
Little keepsakes from your life could be suspended in the jello.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Like your high school ring, your keys, you know.
Exactly. Larry King will be joining us in a minute, but first it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Jerry from Ramsour, North Carolina.
Hi, Jerry. Where's Ramsour?
It is pretty much dead center of North Carolina and about 15 miles east of the North Carolina Zoo.
That is an unexpected landmark to you. Do you really like the zoo, or are you afraid of it and want to keep your distance?
Oh, no, I love the zoo.
You love the zoo.
Yes.
So you're giving people directions to your house. You say, go to the zoo, turn right, go 15 miles. Well, welcome to the show, Jerry.
Thank you. You're
going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Jerry's topic?
Yes, we candy.
Candy might just seem like a delicious way to rot your teeth and ruin your dinner. But not anymore. We heard about someone using candy for good. Our panelists are going to read you three stories of people using candy to solve what seemed like an unsolvable problem. Guess the true story, you'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail or whatever the future technology may hold. Ready to play?
Absolutely.
First, let's hear from Brian Babylon.
With the wave of summer heat, lots of people have problem with stinky feet. But construction worker Charles Cook found a sweet, low-cost cure to the problem. Pixie Sticks. One day after his kids used one of his work boots as a hiding place for their candy away from their mother, Charles unknowingly put on the boots on a hot summer day. After a day of working on a high construction site, Charles took off his boots and realized that one of his feet smelled like a trash bin and the other foot smelled like a Hawaiian fruit plate. I looked at my socks. One was bright red and had the unique smell of Maui Punch, my daughter's favorite Pixie flavor. Not sure if it's cheaper than foot powder, but I'm going to sell it at the construction site, and we'll see.
Pixie Sticks, solving the problem of foot odor after a long day at work. Your next story of sweet relief comes from Roxanne Roberts.
Oil spills are bad, but all the cleanup equipment takes a toll on wildlife and water quality, too. After an Exxon pipeline burst in the Yellowstone River earlier this month, Montana state officials green-lighted an experimental oil containment boom made entirely out of leftover Easter peeps. Louisiana scientists developed the marshmallow boom because the traditional plastic ones smother plants and release polyurethane into the water. Biodegradable peeps are compressed into 12-inch diameter pipes, which expand when they hit the water. The peeps block out the oil, float gently on the river, and slowly dissolve with no environmental damage after about a week. Quote, it looks really weird to see rows of marshmallow ducks staring at you, Montana's Interior Secretary George Willis told Helena's Independent Record, but as we all know, nothing can destroy a peep.
Peeps, those marshmallow bunnies used to contain an oil spill. And your last story of better living through candy comes from Tom Baudette.
Charlene Thornton Joe, a city councilor in Victoria, British Columbia, has come up with a sweet solution to the problem of late-night inebriated revelers spilling out of nightclubs and creating mayhem. Lollipops. In an experiment following the recent Canada Day festivities, which drew 30,000 people to downtown Victoria, Thornton Joe and her team of sucker-wielding Avengers went to work. She reported that after the men popped a lolly in their mouths, their nasty energy all but dissolved. They got calmer after taking the lollipops, she said. It had immediate effect. No one is quite sure if this was because of the concentrated sugars, the pacifying binky effect of oral gratification, or just that it would look ridiculous on YouTube to be setting a car on fire with a sucker in your mouth. The Victoria Police Department, however, isn't sure it wants its officers to become lollicops. There is undoubtedly concern for the safety of their officers when they would point a lollipop at the face of a violent drunk and say, "Suck this."
All right. Here are your choices. Brian Babylon told you the story of a construction worker who discovered that pixie sticks were great for foot odor. Roxanne Roberts told you about how the state of Montana was using marshmallow peeps to control an oil spill. And Tom Baudette related the story of a plan to use lollipops to soothe the temper of crazy drunks on the streets late night in Canada. Which of these is the real story of a new use for an old candy?
I am going to have to go with the peeps in the pipeline.
Peeps in the pipeline. Peeps in the river, the oil spill.
Yes.
It's a peaceful vision, isn't it? The little marshmallow peeps floating there.
It is,
slowly,
yes.
Becoming coated with crude. All right, that's your choice. Well, your choice is Roxanne's story. We spoke to somebody who was actually involved in this initiative.
We gave out 11,000 lollipops to revelers, and we found that it soothed people like a pacifier would for a child.
That was Charlene Thornton-Joe. She is the Victoria City Councilor who was behind the lollipop crime-fighting proposal. So, as you no doubt have figured out, it was, in fact, Tom who had the real story, and you are just added to the list of the people seduced by Roxanne Roberts. It's a long one. You didn't win our game, but you did earn a point for Roxanne for her very sophisticated and practical-sounding solution, so thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And now the game where we invite big names on to answer little questions. Larry King has interviewed everyone from various presidents down, or I guess arguably up, to Snooki. He left CNN last year. He's been touring the country with a comedy act, and his newest book is Truth Be Told. Larry King, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
Some people may not know this, but long before you were an icon on television, you were on radio. How did you get into radio?
I always wanted to do it. When I was a kid, 5-6 years old, I'd listen to the radio. I'd imitate the announcers. I never wanted to be anything else. Other kids wanted to be doctors or firemen or whatever kids want to be.
And how did you get that first show? How did you convince them to put you on the air?
I knocked on doors, and they tested my voice, and the guy liked it. And it was a very small station. He said, listen, as soon as there's an opening, you got it. And an opening occurred. One guy quit because he was he was making $55 a week, and his alimony was $60 a week. And he figured out that could never work. So on Friday afternoon, they told me Monday morning I would start. I would have a disc jockey show. It was $55 a week. I would play music in the morning. I would do sports and news in the afternoon. And I just stayed up all night practicing, good morning, good morning, good morning. And
really?
Picking out music. And now it's about 10 minutes before I'm about to go on the air. It's 10 to 9, Monday morning, May 1st, 1957. And the general manager called me in, and he said, what name are you going to use? And my name was Larry Zeiger, which was, you know, that was my name.
Yeah.
And he said, that won't do. Too ethnic, and people won't know how to spell it. You need a new name. So now it's 10 minutes before I got to go on the air. It's my lifetime dream, and they're going to give me a new name. And he had the Miami Herald in front of him, and there was an ad for King's Wholesale Liquors. And he said, how about Larry King? I said, okay. So I went into the studio. This is God's honest truth, Peter. I turned on the mic. I fade the music. Nothing came out. I brought up the music, brought down the music, brought up the music, and I was just scared to death. All the audience has been hearing his music go up and down.
Now, wait a minute. When you say nothing came out, you mean you opened your mouth and you couldn't speak?
Correct. I was
scared. You were too nervous. Okay.
And so I said to myself, all this lifetime wish is not going to come true because I'm too nervous. And the general manager kicked open the door to the control room, and he said, "This is a communications business, damn it, communicate." And I just turned on the microphone, and I did something that day that I would do today.
What was that?
I said, "Good morning. My name is Larry King." That's the first time I've ever said that. I've just been given that name. I'm sitting here. I always wanted to be in radio. I'm scared to death. But the general manager just kicked open the door, and he said, "I have to communicate." I better communicate, and I discovered something which is true to this day. If you're honest with your audience, you can never go wrong. Broadcasting is simple. Just be yourself. It ain't brain surgery.
It ain't. But eventually you did very well. You made enough to cover your alimony, I know. So that's no small thing.
Peter, this show's local or what?
No, no, we're coast to coast, as he used to say.
Well, I'm happy to be with you.
I'm happy to be with you, too.
Roxanne here, I have a question, which is something I've never asked you, which is, how did the whole suspender thing start?
It was my ex-wife, Sharon.
Which one?
Yeah, well.
Roxanne?
Yes? Yeah.
Never approach me again. Could have been you, Roxanne. Anyway.
He's lost track, Roxanne.
I had just had my heart surgery, and I'd lost a lot of weight, and I was feeling very good. I recovered very quickly, and we were out to dinner, and we were always friendly, and she said, "You know, you wear these half sweaters and stuff. Why don't you try something different? You're in a visual media. You're on every night. You ever wear suspenders?" And I said, "No, I never have." She said, "Why don't you try it?" So I tried it one night. And a couple people called in, said it looked good, and that's all I had to hear. And then it stuck, you know. So now it became part of the lore.
Speaking of your look and your costume, we read in an interview you did with Esquire magazine that Ryan Seacrest buys you your jeans.
I'm wearing a pair right now.
All right.
Ryan Seacrest is a very close friend. And the first time he saw me, I was wearing jeans that were the old-fashioned kind of jeans, you know, the bag.
Mom jeans.
Mom jeans, we call them.
And he said that they're wrong for you. You got to wear this. And he asked my size, which was 32. And so he started giving me jeans. And I got all the modern American jeans, religious jeans. I mean, there's one named religion, true religion, fake religion, happy religion, Jew jeans, Catholic jeans, Mormon jeans.
I'm sorry.
Every jean in the world.
Jew
and
jeans?
Whenever I get them, they got to put buttons on them. So on suspenders.
Right. There was a long period, decades,
yeah,
when if somebody was in the news, if somebody wanted to get their side of the story out, if somebody wanted to talk directly to the people, they went on Larry King. That was the first stop.
And that was the place to go, and because they knew they would be asked good questions, that I left my ego at the door. I had no agenda. I never tried to get anyone, nor did I try to praise people. I just try to learn. The less a host knows, the better. So a host knows too much, then he or she is not curious. I'm intensely curious about people. So sometimes the less I know, the better the show.
I've based my entire career on ignorance. We were wondering, we covered on this show when you retired, and we were wondering how you would go from being America's preeminent interviewer to not interviewing people. Do you like stop people in the grocery store and ask them questions?
Well, I'm still curious. I ask questions of people. You don't want to sit next to me on an airplane. When do I play the game here?
Oh, hey. we can go now if you're prepared. We're enjoying talking to you.
Ready.
But if you're
prepared. You told me we've got to play the game. I made plans, and now you give me
all right,
the key
no, sir. I understand. If you're pressed for time, we'll get right on it. That's fine.
No.
Larry, we have invited you here to play a game. We're calling...
What are you supposed to say when God sneezes?
That was just one of your famous King's Things, bits of wisdom or observations about daily life. So we thought we'd ask you about Queen's Things, some of the stuff belonging to various queens of England. Get two right, and you will win for one of our listeners. Carl, who is broadcast legend Larry King playing for?
Larry is playing for Judith Bottigi of Swampscott, Massachusetts.
All right. Ready to play?
Okay.
First question. Queen Elizabeth II is required to travel all around the world, but she likes to bring along certain comforts of home. Such as which of these? A, the Royal Walkman, along with several of her favorite royal cassettes. B, the Royal Seat, her own portable white leather toilet seat. Or C, the Royal Fuzzy Slippers, made from two of her dearly departed corgis.
I'll go with number one.
You're going to go with the Royal Walkman? She likes that old cassette technology?
Yeah, that's probably it.
Actually, it's in fact the Royal Seat.
Hold it, hold it. First of all, You're telling me the Queen of England
yes.
carries around a royal toilet seat.
Well, dude,
really,
that's what's in the purse. No, no, someone cares. She has a retinue, as I'm sure.
How the hell do you know that?
We tapped her phone.
Yeah. All right, you still have two more chances here.
Go ahead.
Foreign dignitaries who met Queen Elizabeth I back in the early 17th century, late 16th century, when they met Queen Elizabeth I in person, they often noticed something remarkable about her physical appearance. What? A, she had a pretty thick and noticeable mustache. B, she had black teeth. Or C, she had incredibly long toenails that sometimes poked out of her shoes.
Are these all gags, or they're
one of them is actually true.
I'll go with the teeth.
The teeth. You're right. She had terrible teeth. This was before the advent of Colgate. She liked sugary treats, but they did not like her. All right,
now
that would be cool. Oh, now what? Now we have one more question. If you get this one right, you've won it all. Here we go. Queen Victoria may have had the first ever celebrity stalker, a man known as the Boy Jones. He snuck into Buckingham Palace on numerous occasions and took souvenirs. He reportedly once stole what from Queen Victoria? A, her royal underwear. B, her beloved Crimean War scrapbook. Or C, her complete Delft porcelain woolen mill playset.
I'll go with the underwear.
You're right, sir. So did he. He went with the underwear. This is a guy who used to break into Buckingham Palace whenever he could. He also sat in her throne and hid under her sofa. Carl, how did Larry King do in our quiz?
Well, Larry had two correct answers, Peter, and that's good enough to win for Judith Bottigi.
Well done, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. I, before you go, I know you're on the road doing a comedy show, and I have not seen you do comedy. So is there any way you could give us and our audience a sample of what you do?
All right, I'll give you a quick joke.
Please, quick joke from Larry King.
Later. Train goes every night from New York to Chicago. Okay. It's an all-sleeper train, leaves New York at midnight, gets to Chicago at 9 in the morning. Man gets in, checks into his berth, getting ready for the evening. It's an all-sleeper train. Suddenly the door opens, and the next passenger comes in. It's a woman. Now, normally, Amtrak would not sell a ticket and a sleeper train to a man and a woman who are not man and wife, but the woman did not object. The train was sold out, and she got into the lower berth. The man gets into the upper berth, and the train begins its trek to Chicago. After a little while, the man leans over, and he said, "I'm a little chilled, ma'am. Could I borrow a blanket?" And she looks at him and says, "You know, we're only going to be together this one night. We are strangers on a train. We will never see each other again as long as we live. Why not? Why not just for tonight? Why don't we play man and wife? You and me, man and wife." The guy says, "Sure." She says, "Good, get your own damn blanket."
Larry King is touring the country with his comedy show. There's a new book out called Truth Be Told. Larry King, thank you so much for being with us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Don't you know we're right?
Thank you all so much. In just a minute, in our listener limerick challenge, Carl insists the rhyme bag you found isn't his. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Roxanne, the New York Times had a big expose this week. Across the country, children's playgrounds are far too what?
Dangerous.
No.
Safe.
Yes. The problem, according to the New York Times, is that they're too safe. Now, back when I was a kid, our playgrounds were made from decommissioned World War II ordnance. And the merry-go-round was just a syphilitic hooker who'd spin you around in your lap. And she was nice. She was one of my good friends. Well, that's gone now. Now, the kids are coddled. Instead of those terrifying steel ladders, they've got comfy steps. Instead of swings, they have easy chairs bolted to the ground. Researchers argue that the playground is where children must learn to overcome fear in order not to develop too much anxiety. Yes, obviously. That's why you always hear people walking around today saying, I owe everything I have accomplished as an adult to the time I found a syringe in the ball pit.
Yeah, it seems like everybody of a certain generation has like a scar on their forehead or a right. scar on their chin, and at some dinner somewhere, everybody gets to tell their
horrible...
Their playground story.
Right.
You know, falling on the mud scraper off of the string or something.
Now these playgrounds have shag carpeting.
That's true.
Well, they all have those wood chips on them.
They have wood chips or sometimes the rubber matting.
Or what I like to think of as tick habitat.
Yeah. You know,
I would rather have the gravel.
Don't they have the lawyers on each side of the monkey bars just in case something
right.
happens?
Yeah.
The monkey bar chaser.
Brian, a hot new toy is making its way to store shelves. It's the first baby doll that lets girls and boys, I imagine if they want to, do what?
Breastfeed.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
New from a Spanish toy company, it's the baby doll that no one has been waiting for.
Yeah.
Here's how it works. Your child puts on this included halter top, which has two strategically placed little flowers on the front. They hold the doll in the breastfeeding position, and sensors in the flowers trigger the baby to make sucking motions. Then when the baby is full, you take both it and your child to therapy.
So this is going to be a new MTV reality show, like Six and Not Pregnant.
There's something
like that.
And there's going to be those little girls, and then on the other side, there's going to be the ones that had the little baby formula, and then they're going to get into a big ideological fight.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
It's like, go for the formula.
Yeah.
It's
and
fine,
And people are like,
really.
No, it's fine to give it Similac. It's actually plastic. It really Roxanne, we are all in for it now because Al-Qaeda will now be recruiting new jihadis through what method?
An animated cartoon.
Yes, indeed, an animated kids cartoon TV show. The proposed TV show, complete with sample art, was posted to a jihadi website. The art shows terrorists with masks, guns, and horrible glowing red eyes. And those are the heroes. Seriously.
So it's like Dragon Ball Jihad.
Sort of like that. Yeah, right.
Is there a name for this yet?
If there is, I did not get the translation. There's not a lot of detail for it, but we assume that when the show gets picked up, you know, by a network, it'll be similar to kids' shows that are already out there. So imagine Dora the Mujahideen, SpongeBob Square Burka, that sort of thing.
This is like the universal opposite of that Little Pony Friends show.
Yeah. Exactly. What should we watch today? My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, or Death to the Infidels?
Right.
I don't know. What kind of movie
if you believe in the yin and yang of life, that pony show created this Al-Qaeda cartoon.
That's true. Yeah. Brian, the MQ-8B Fire Scout is, as I'm sure you know, an advanced new unmanned helicopter. It's operated by a remote pilot using a computer. But there are still a few glitches to work out. For instance, we found out recently, when you hit the space bar, the helicopter does what?
Goes around and around?
No. That'd be funny, though.
Yeah. real slapsticky. I don't know.
It starts a 10-second countdown, you know.
It explodes?
It starts to self-destruct.
Oh, man. Really?
And the Navy is all excited.
That'd make you polish your keyboarding skills, wouldn't it?
Yeah. The Navy is all excited by the Fire Scout. They want to buy a bunch of them. But according to a Defense Department report that came out this week, even though the Fire Scout has failed just 10 of its 10 tests, it still has a few minor glitches. One operator's headset cord brushed the space bar, and the helicopter became self-destructive. It slept around. It started drinking.
Yep.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or you can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, and you can check out How to Do Everything, the new podcast from the producers of Wait, Wait. This week, how to perform mouth-to-beak resuscitation. Because you need to know. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is James from Somerville, Mass.
Hey, Somerville, one of my favorite places. What do you do there?
Up until about 2 weeks ago, I worked in market research, and at the moment, I look for a job.
Oh, I see. Did you quit their job to pursue your dream, which is looking for another job?
Unfortunately, no. That would have been my dream. It would have made things a lot easier.
Yeah.
But just typical layoff stuff. So right now, yeah, back on the market.
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on two of the limericks, you will be a big winner. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, here's your first limerick.
I cannot say no thank you to pork, and my pasta I twirl with much torque. But my eating tool size has a pleasant surprise. I eat less when I have a big...
Spork?
Did you just say spork? I admire your ingenuity, but you're overcomplicating this. Want another guess?
Let's see.
Were you raised in a prison? I'm not sure. Or perhaps a Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise, I believe. They have sporks. It's just an interesting first choice. Let's hear the limerick again, and I'm sure you'll get it. Here we go.
I cannot say no thank you to pork, and my pasta I twirl with much torque. But my eating tool size has a pleasant surprise. I eat less when I have a big...
I don't know.
It's a lot. It's a lot like a spork, but less versatile.
It's a fork.
A fork, yes. Big news in weight loss. According to research from the University of Utah, people eat less if they use bigger forks. They say bigger forks trick your body into thinking you're eating more, so you take fewer bites, feel fuller sooner. While using a small fork makes you eat more quickly in order to make up for having such a tiny, pathetic little fork. One downside to the big fork diet, you will lose a bit of dignity when you sit down to dinner with your trident. Here, spork, he said. Here is your next limerick.
This bar is male-centered, I fear. When Will Brews for Us Mamas appear. Barley and hops isn't only for pops. We gals need our own kind of...
beer.
Yes, it is beer. Well done. Although I thought with your record you were going to go with Zima Clear Malt. No, it's beer. Ladies, ever thought, this beer is good, but it's just not pink or sparkly enough for me? Well, thanks to the Molson Coors Brewing Company, you'll soon be able to order from a line of, quote, lady lagers called Anime. Because, ladies, if you've ever seen a beer commercial, you know if anybody understands you, it's beer companies. The new lady beer has been specially formulated to help you all bounce in slow motion on your trampolines. All right, here's your last limerick.
I let baked goods go waft through the vent, and the shopper's dough soon will be spent. Folks are led by the nose, and my profit just grows. I'm plying my wares with a...
Can I hear it one more time?
Sure.
I let baked goods go waft through the vent, and the shopper's dough soon will be spent. Folks are led by the nose, and my profit just grows. I'm plying my wares with a...
Scent.
Yes, scent. In an effort to get shoppers to buy more, supermarket chains around the country are turning to something called smell marketing. Machines throughout the store release delicious and artificial food smells because, as we all know, smelling bacon leads to buying bacon. System isn't perfect, though. Shoppers in the cereal aisle are finding out that Captain Crunch spent a really, really long time at sea. Carl, how did James do in our quiz?
James, you had 3 correct answers, so you win our prize.
Well done. Thanks so much for playing, James. Good luck to you.
All right. Bye. You smell good, like a magazine.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players has 60 seconds to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer is now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a tie for first place, Peter. Roxanne Roberts and Tom Beaudet each has 3 points. Brian Babylon has 2.
All right. So, Brian, you are up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. According to an AP report, even zoo animals are getting cranky about the record blank across the Midwest this week.
Heat.
Yes, the euro surged as European leaders held an emergency summit to work out the deal to bail out blank.
Greece.
Right. The TSA announced that new scanning software will prevent agents from seeing blank images of passengers.
Private?
Not quite. Naked.
Naked, yeah.
In a 31-0 vote on Thursday, NFL owners ratified a proposal to end the blank.
Lockout.
Right. The prison service in Russia has launched an inquiry after prisoners at a jail outside Moscow blanked.
Rioted.
Had a toga party.
Nice.
After a long-running dispute about its height, Nepal announced it would remeasure blank.
Oh, Mount Everest.
Right. On Wednesday, golfer Tiger Woods announced that he had split with his blank of 13 years.
Caddy.
Yes. Scientists in Seoul have determined that a 39-story high-rise that shook violently for 10 minutes did so because of a blank.
Earthquake.
No, because 17 people were up there doing a Tai Bo workout.
Billy Blanks.
Yeah. 3,000 people were evacuated from the shaking office tower, which was shut for 3 days.
Now, that's some Tai Bo.
That's some Tai Bo.
Or just a horrible built building.
Yeah. Carl, how did Brian do in our quiz?
Brian had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 12 points, and Brian has taken the lead.
Well done. All right. Do you flip a coin? Roxanne's elected to go last. Tom, you're up next. According to a report released on Thursday, claims for blank benefits rose more than expected last week.
Unemployment.
Right. Under a new French plan presented this week, blank could stay in Libya, but not in power.
Muammar Gaddafi.
Right. In a game that came down to a penalty shootout, Japan beat the U.S. to win the blank.
The World Cup.
Yeah, the Women's World Cup. This Sunday is the first day that blanks can be legally married in New York.
Gay couples.
Right. Scientists looking for great white sharks off of South Africa were surprised when blank.
A great white shark jumped on the boat.
It did. Presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann defended herself with a doctor's note after news broke that she suffers from debilitating blank.
Migraine.
Right. 2 New Jersey men arrested for breaking into a police van said they only did it to get blank.
To get some new shoes.
To get pictures of themselves pretending to break into a police van. The men thought it'd be hilarious to take photos of themselves in the van, but it got less funny when they couldn't figure out how to get out. According to a police constable, it was unfreaking believable. I came down and unlocked the doors, and Dumb and Dumber pranced out of the van. They were arrested, but they got some good pictures, so they're happy. Carl, how did Tom do in our quiz?
Tom had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 15 points, and Tom has taken the lead.
Well done.
Not good enough.
So how many, then, does Roxanne need to win?
6 to tie, 7 to win outright.
All right, here we go, Roxanne. That's well within your grasp. Here
Come
we
on,
go.
Rox.
This is for the game. Governor Mark Dayton signed a budget bill officially ending the government shutdown in blank.
Minnesota.
Right, global box office records were broken last weekend with the release of the final blank movie.
Harry Potter.
Right, to appease protesters demanding faster political change. On Thursday, a new cabinet was sworn in blank.
Egypt.
Yes, this week bookstore chain Blank announced it was liquidating and closing its remaining stores.
Borders.
Right, a woman in Guatemala City investigated a loud booming noise, was surprised to find a blank under her bed.
A sinkhole.
Yes, a 40-foot sinkhole. Now that he's been replaced on 2 and a Half Men, Blank announced plans for a new sitcom called Anger Management.
Charlie Sheen.
Right, best known for her viral hit Friday, 13-year-old Blank released a new single on Monday.
Rebecca Black?
Yes. Despite being armed with a rifle, 2 men attempting to rob a store in L.A. were thwarted by blank.
A chihuahua.
A vicious chihuahua, Roxanne.
You're impossible.
The 2 men remembered to disguise themselves and bring a rifle, but they obviously did not take into account 10-pound Paco the chihuahua.
10 pounds?
10 pounds.
10 pounds.
10 pounds. When they were picking which store to rob, Paco launched himself. The thieves chased them out of the store and down the street. Paco's owner says he is very proud and he's glad he decided to upgrade to his security company's premium chihuahua package. Carl, did Roxanne do well enough to win?
She needed 6 to tie. Roxanne had 8 correct
answers.
Oh,
my God.
Roxanne Roberts is district champion.
I could never beat Rox.
The most dangerous place to stand in America is between Roxanne Roberts and a meaningless victory. In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists, now that the space shuttle program is shut down, what will be the next big national exploration project? But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness on the web at melvilletrust.org, the National Association of Realtors, providing resources for home ownership at houselogic.com, and Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, a program in which rates are determined by the driving habits of policyholders. Learn more at progressive.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Amy Solomon. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Belarchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Litterman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will we explore next? Brian Babylon.
We're going to invest in some nanotechnology and launch ourselves into the News Corp executives and see if they have a soul.
Roxanne Roberts.
We'll finally figure out how Jersey Shore and other reality shows dropped our collective national IQ by 30 points.
And Tom Baudet.
Congress will try to find its ass with both hands.
And if any of that happens, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carol Castle. Thanks also to Brian Babylon, Roxanne Roberts, Tom Baudet. And thanks to you all for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll be back with you next week. This is NPR.